It is so fun to have you in the studio this morning. Can you tell us a little bit about what it means for you to be queer and how you came to understand your own experience of that?
Yeah, for me, I felt pretty different my whole life, like, than my family. I grew up the middle of 12 children.
Wow. 12.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
And being an identical twin, I also, like, just felt like I was different my whole life and didn't really understand why. And then in my early 20s, I kind of realized that I was attracted to women as well as men, and kind of first identified as bisexual. But as I explored my sexuality further, chose the term queer because I feel like it's a broader term and doesn't like box me in.
Yeah.
Because I feel like my sexuality is quite fluid, and the way that I express my sexuality can change depending on the person that I'm being intimate with or the partner that I'm seeing at the time or whatever. So for me, queer is a broad term. Kind of, I kind of see it as like an encapsulation of like LGBTI. Those all fall under like the over
the big
arching
queer
term of queer
umbrella.
We're just weird. I actually use the term queerdo. I'm a queer weirdo, and yeah, that's for me
how,
a fitting term.
How did your family come to grips with your new identity? You're one of 12. That's a lot of kids. It's a pretty, you know, conservative, almost, you would assume, kind of lifestyle. How did they deal with this?
Yeah, definitely. My family is very conservative. I grew up very much in a Christian conservative household in America, and my family didn't respond very well. I was told it was unnatural. And actually, after moving to Australia is when I came out. And then on my first trip back to the United States, two of my sisters took it upon themselves as good Christian women to exorcise me and to tell me that I was possessed by demons and that they needed to, like, basically pray the gay out of me. So that was a pretty harsh and traumatic experience.
Absolutely.
Being driven out into the middle of the country into a church, and then surprise, we're gonna cast demons out of you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was pretty horrible.
Oh, and to come from your own family as well, that your sisters, that's,
yeah, and one of them being my twin sister, which is just like, you know, that bond is something that nobody else can really understand unless you're also a twin. So, yeah, it was a pretty intense experience and really sad for me, because I was just like, I just want my family to love me. Like, I just want my sisters to love me.
That's what everyone wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was definitely a big journey. And the last 7 years has been a really big journey of embracing the fullness of all that I am, despite what my family thinks of me or despite being rejected. And, you know, today many of my siblings don't talk to me.
Wow.
I have a pretty good relationship with my parents. They've kind of resigned to the fact that they don't really understand me, but I'm their daughter, so
they're
still
going
to love me.
Yeah, that's it.
And I, you know, that's all I can ask for. So
absolutely.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey.
What's it been like? What kind of challenges have arose as you've embraced this kind of identity and sexuality? Has it been hard to maintain a spirituality as well? Because you've obviously grown up with a lot of spirituality in your life.
Yeah, and I guess like these two journeys have kind of woven their way together and alongside each other within myself. Definitely have had times where I was like, no way, like the church is like messed up because of what happened to me, and just like experiencing spiritual abuse, as well as having a history of sexual abuse in my life, and feeling, you know, like both areas of my life were kind of distorted or shamed, or like, you know, am I messed up because of my sexuality and because of these, you know, experiences of sexual abuse, and then now being spiritually abused, and oh my gosh. So it definitely caused a bit of a internal crisis of like, who am I? And, you know, now coming to, you know, there's aspects of the Christian faith that I think are awesome. And I think as a historical person, like the Jesus person was fucking rad. Like he was radical and very much like, if you kind of translated his teachings into modern times, it's like very socialist kind of perspective. And, yeah, I think a lot of conservative Christians that I grew up with would probably have something to say about that comment. But
probably.
Yeah, so I consider myself a mystic. I have a lot of different spiritual traditions that I've woven into my Christian faith now. And I get excited when I meet other queer people who have a similar faith. And just for me, it's more about like embracing Christ consciousness and moving towards the true essence of what I think Jesus was preaching at his time, which was love and acceptance of all people.
And bringing your own, you know, version of religion into it. Everyone interprets things in their own way, and they internalize it in their own way, and they use it the way that they need to use it.
It's absolutely. And I think, you know, like for me, the way I see it is as many people as there are on the planet, that's how many manifestations there are of God.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So this must have been, you know, you were talking a lot there about this kind of crisis of self and who am I and what do I stand for and what is happening with my life. Where did you find support in this period? It must have been an incredibly confronting and at times, I'm sure, lonely period of your life.
Yeah. Because a lot of that was happening as well when I first moved to Australia, and so assimilating into a new culture. And while on, you know, a lot of levels, people are like, oh, there's a lot of similarities between America and Australia and da-da-da, they're actually quite different culturally, and like the mentalities are very different. So it was a big adjustment for me. And I mean, at the time I was living in Darwin as well, which was quite isolated. So my partner at the time was my biggest support person.
Wow.
And, you know, he really supported the evolution of my spiritual ideas and practices and also my queer identity. And, you know, being also like in a heterosexual relationship and coming out as queer was an interesting exploration as well, because
Absolutely.
Then I was like, oh, well, I'm bisexual, but I'm also like in a partnership with a male.
And at this point.
At that time. And, you know, we're no longer together, but he's still a very core like support person in my life, and I can always like reach out to him. And, you know, there was some churches that I was like exploring because, you know, growing up, that was like, that's how I met people. And, you know, my parents never drank and stuff. And so going out to drink wasn't familiar to me as a way of meeting people.
No, it would have felt
like,
really foreign.
I was like, how do I make new friends? Well, I guess I go to church.
Yeah, that's.
But it was like this weird thing of like, I don't really want to go to church.
Do I want to go
like,
to church? But
okay.
And church in Darwin.
Yeah,
and it's a whole thing.
Like,
yeah,
whole thing. But ended up, you know, some of my trauma arose at the same time, and I think the other support that I found was in a psychotherapist that I was seeing up in Darwin, which she's an amazing woman. Actually, I think originally from Sydney, but there's support when you find it. If you look out there, there is one person in my life who I've known actually since I was about 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
And she's probably like my best friend and has known me the longest, but she's older than my parents.
Oh, wow.
So I'm the same age as some of her kids.
Yeah.
And she's been a lifelong support for me, and definitely a person who has maintained the most contact from when I moved out of America.
It's amazing how those cornerstones of support just transcend every like aspect of your life. It doesn't matter how much time has passed or what happens in between. They are there, and they are those rocks that you depend on. So how did you come to creative arts therapy? How did that all come about?
Yeah, around the same time of living in Darwin, I was working in social work, and I'd been a performing artist like basically my whole life, sang in choirs when I was younger, done theater and
creative person.
Yeah, very creative person, played piano and guitar for ages. But working in social work, and then one of my younger sisters also experienced sexual abuse, and hearing about that and like processing that and dealing with my own trauma, I was just like, man, I want to find a way to use my passion in the arts and also like help people and support people. And then I found out I started hearing about like music therapy and art therapy. And I was like, oh, what is that? And initially when I looked into music therapy, I was like, cool, I'm a musician. I like, this is a big part of my life. But also I don't want to be limited by one modality because I am multidisciplinary. So I ended up moving from Darwin to Melbourne to study creative art therapy at Mycat Institute.
Fantastic. Yeah. And so you've got this really phenomenal show coming up at the Sydney Fringe next week. Yeah. Tell us about that. What's it going? What can audiences expect?
Yeah, so Lady Z, Dragtivist and Queen.
Amazing title, by the way.
I'm a big fan of mashing words together. Obviously,
I can see. I like it.
Weirdo before.
I can get on board. Dragtivist. You've got your whole own dictionary lexicon going on, and I love it. It's amazing. Okay.
So definitely, like, she's a big part of my own journey with my queer personality as well, and really giving voice to certain parts of myself. It is a storytelling of my experience of overcoming sexual assault and coming to own my sexual power.
Wow.
And really reclaim my body.
Mm.
While oftentimes people perceive that to be quite a heavy topic,
yeah,
I've constructed the show in such a way that it actually leaves people feeling really inspired and empowered. And
amazing.
There's audience participation. I do little consent and boundary games. And it's a big mashup of spoken word poetry and dance and improv and audience participation and lip sync and all the wonderful things that you can expect of a drag show. And
with your own story,
with my own story in it.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Was it hard to come up with the show? Was it confronting? I guess you've done quite a lot of work in creative therapy and really finding yourself in that. Did you find it confronting?
Not so much. Interestingly enough, actually landing in Sydney last night, I actually kind of felt a little bit of this is a big deal because
yeah.
A year and a half ago when I lived in Sydney was when I was raped.
Wow.
And so coming back to this place and being like, oh yeah, okay, this is where it happened and this is where I'm telling my story again.
Does it feel like you're reclaiming it a bit and you're...
Yeah, definitely in a way. And definitely the journey of having lived here and had that experience and then moving to Melbourne, creating this show and bringing that show back here definitely feels like transforming my memories of this place.
Mm, yeah. Mm. One thing that I found really fantastic about the show when I was looking at the Fringe online situation, you're going to have trauma counsellors there, am I right?
Yes. I mean, as an art therapist myself, I'll be available for emotional support. But
amazing.
I've also asked other people to come as emotional support on the night as well.
I think that is so fantastic. Yeah. And it just shows this real responsibility for your audience as well.
Yeah, and that's a big thing for me. So it's not only have I created the show in such a way with that sensitivity in mind, but also understanding that, people might get triggered even if I've created it really sensitively.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you never know what's going to trigger people. Exactly. And you never know what experiences people in the audience have had.
Yeah.
Oh, honestly, this is one of the shows I'm most excited about at Fringe. When I was looking through I went through the whole 70 million page program. I was circling all the things and this was one that just really stood out. So thank you so much for joining us in
Such
studio this
pleasure.
Morning.
Thank you so much for having me.